Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Celtic take on Ross County in league duty at Celtic Park tomorrow, but might have to do so without a recognised left-back, such as the situation with Celtic squad management right now. This is Tino with the match preview, joined here by James. James, your initial thoughts ahead of this one?
Yeah, I mean, the first league game back after the break, so we just want to get off to a good start. You know, we've said it a few times in the last few weeks, maybe even longer, we need to be going on a run. We're on a run as such, the winter break breaks that, and we need to just get that going again and run this right through to pretty much end of March, I would say, without any drop points. If we can do that, I think we can take care of business. Like you say, challenges there, but fortunately we're in a transfer window, so you'd expect something to be on like 7 days, or less than.
Well, could do with signing somebody today to throw him right in at left back. I mean, this is the kind of worst case scenario that us and many others have been not forecasting, but warning against. You know, what happens if Greg Taylor gets injured? What happens if Joe Hart gets injured? What happens if Kyogo gets injured? And the bottom line is Celtic just haven't prepared for these cases, you know, properly. I've put it down to gross mismanagement of the squad. Now, I don't know how much responsibility is on the manager and how much is on recruitment and backroom team to do so, but whoever's in charge of it has got it wrong, because the only genuine left back at the club is Greg Taylor. Let's take Burnaby out of the equation. The only genuine left-back we've got is Greg Taylor, and lo and behold, he picks up a knock, and we're going to be scraping about for options here.
Yeah, I mean, I reckon the recruitment team's been given Rodgers options, and Rodgers saying, that's not the standard. And Celtic, obviously, the recruitment team will be saying, well, that's the budget. And they'll be saying, well, you need to raise the budget. That's the blocker here. It's always money when it comes to Celtic, always. So we can get the quality, but we need to spend the money. We'll not spend the money. Here's what you're getting for that budget. And Rodgers is saying, nah, that's not coming into my team. I can do just as well with your Mitchell Frame or Burnaby. Hopefully Mitchell Frame goes on, obviously, to develop. But Rodgers is saying, you're not bringing me in anything better than what I've already got. So, no thanks.
Do you get the vibe, and it sounds like you do, that Brendan Rodgers and Mark Loyal are just on different pages?
Rodgers was interesting comments yesterday. Said he's got a great communicative relationship with Michael Nicholson and Chris Mackay, is it?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, who's he leaving out of the picture there? It's pretty damning.
That seems to be a Brendan Rodgers approach. You might remember a few weeks ago, yeah, he was talking about the players that had strong mentality and character, and he specifically named, if I remember rightly, Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly, Liam Scales. And then obviously doesn't mention other guys. And by their omission, that means there's maybe a question mark over them. I wonder if he's employed or deployed the same tactic here by not naming Mark Lowell. Listen, if that's where we've got to, we know that Brendan Rodgers ended up with a strained relationship with Peter Lowell, you know, whatever it was, 6 years ago or something like that. But towards the end of his tenure, you know, in his third season, it's a bit worrying that that seems to have crept up again, what have we said, 7 months into his new reign?
Yeah, but I think it's because, in reality, we found ourselves with an unqualified head of recruitment who's out his depth. And I want to take the personal side of things out of it. You know, I don't care for people giving Mark all the person a hard time. He's not going to knock the job back. You know, it's a great opportunity for a Celtic fan, a guy in that world. But he didn't have the experience of signing players at our level. He had the experience of signing players at Yokohama's level. And it's two different worlds. They need to have developed beyond Yokohama to be at our level. So you can get them in pre-development, fine. That's you done your job at Yokohama, but that doesn't cut it at Celtic. And it just sounds woeful inadequacy all over the place. But it's structural at Celtic. You know, like I was saying in the main show this week, we need to grow up. We need to appoint senior people in senior positions who've got experience and the right to hold those positions. In the moment, we don't.
Yeah, you might well be right. And I've heard that Mark Lowell is part of his work with the City Group. He worked in, you know, New York, probably Yokohama, as you mentioned, potentially, you know, various other clubs. I don't believe he was involved directly on recruiting players for the big club, Man City, obviously the kind of flagship club there at the City Group. But he's got good experience. Whether he's got enough experience or had enough experience to get the big job at Celtic, I don't know. You're absolutely right. It's not a personal thing. It's just as a supporter, you want the best for Celtic in all areas, certainly regards to the football department. So it starts with players, then it's coaches, managers, recruitment, you know, and everything else behind the scenes. Anyway, we'll crack on. Before we do so, thanks to everyone joining us in the live. I see Patrick Duffy there, Northampton, Tim, and a few others. So thanks as always for everyone who's joining us there. Be sure to add any comments that you feel are relevant and we'll look to discuss them as part of this recording here. James Brendan Rodgers himself, it's his birthday today, so happy birthday to the main man. We had a good chat about him on Monday in the weekly show, didn't we? He's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think by and large, most fans are happy with him being the man in control at this moment in time, and he'll be looking for a big second half of the season from his players.
Yeah, and obviously, happy birthday to Brendan Rodgers, take nothing away from him, but it's when Celtic are tweeting stuff out and fans are saying, stop doing this, read the room, tell us when you're making signings or tell us nothing. So it's a big afternoon for himself, but the team too, you know, it's time to get going again.
Yeah, it's also Jose Mourinho's birthday, must be a manager thing. And it was also Mitchell Frame's birthday yesterday, I think, and Paolo Bernardo's during the week. So a lot's going on in terms of birthday stuff. And we'll get to a wee bit of Mitchell Frame chat when we discuss the left-back options that Celtic have got. In terms of guys who won't be available for tomorrow, all five of the guys that were away at the Asian Cup, so that's Ryo Hitati and Daisen Maeda for Japan, Owen Yang for South Korea, and Marco Tilio for Australia. All five have qualified for the knockout stages, so we won't have them available to us getting into this one. But James, let's start at the back. Joe Hart will start in goals, absolutely no doubt about that. What's your back four looking like?
Arthur Johnson, CCV, Navrotsky and Scales.
You're going for the Scales option. So we tweeted last night, obviously the news broke yesterday about Greg Taylor. So the quote is, quote unquote from Brendan Rodgers, Greg will be out for a few weeks. Apparently he felt a strain in his calf towards the end of the Bucky Thistle game. So you're then looking at the options at left back and it can't be Burnaby, can it? So can we take him off the list? He's clearly not fancied by Brendan Rodgers. He said next to no game time, so I don't think that's a genuine option, which would leave the other two, well, there's maybe three. The other two genuine options, I think, would be Liam Scales moving across, which I'm not sure we'll see. I know you've put it down there, but he's played the last, I think it's 27 games in a row at centre-half for Celtic. It would be quite a move to move him out of that position, I think. So it would leave young Mitchell Frame, turned 18 there yesterday. He played on Wednesday night for Celtic's B team, who had a decent 3-1 win away at Southampton. So he's played the full 90 there. He's travelled back. There might be some fatigue. Yeah, scored the third goal. Might be some fatigue issues there. The other option, which I've kind of forgot to consider, is Tony Ralston, who came on at left back semi-recently, didn't he? One of those games around about the Christmas break. So I know you've opted for Scales on this occasion. Do you think there's a shout for Frame or Ralston?
I still look at Ralston first and foremost. He came on and did really well there. You know, he was kind of just forced into that position. I thought he had a really good game. But it's just awkward, you know, a right-sided player at left back. In terms of how we play and how we break out, it's really difficult if you're, you know, facing into the stand rather than facing into the pitch. So I think for that reason, I would have Tony on the bench for sure, because he gives you right back and centre-half options. Mitchell Frame, If I'd seen him against Bucky, then he'd probably be starting for me tomorrow. But he was carrying a knock-up until then. It was his first game back in a couple for the B team on Wednesday. So I don't think he'll throw him right in, but I think he will be on the bench. I don't think Burnaby will be on the bench. Neither should he be. If he's not fancied, then just give it to the recruitment team to sort out. Get him a loan move, a sale, whatever. But it's not going to happen for him under Rodgers, and I don't think it'll happen for him you know, at all at Celtic. He's been given his chances, and he can't say it hasn't. So that's that. In terms of picking scales in there, the thing is, CCV's fit and he'll be back, so he's starting. Navrotsky's been playing well, you know, a couple of wee things against Bucky that wasn't too clever, but you can see he's starting to settle in. And it's really that, you know, Scales has played all those games at centre half when we really needed him to, and you know, we still didn't want him to, but when there's more options at the centre half level now, you know, Welsh is back, he's on the bench, Lagler Bielko's fit, but he shouldn't be in the squad. So there's a lot of left backs in there, and that gives us, if you like, the luxury of resting Scales from a centre half point of view and deploying him on the left back. I don't think he's necessarily great at left back. Probably needs more game time to develop that side of things, but he's fit, he's athletic, he can pick a pass, and he's left footed. All those things considered, that's my choice.
Yeah, and I can understand the rationale, and it might be what he goes with. You've obviously not got Tony Ralston in the same category as Danny McGrain, who could easily do right and left back, and no problem for Danny. My gut feeling is that Ralston might get the nod. And it is an unnatural thing. But equally, I could see the Scales thing. I just think that there'll be a reluctance from Rodgers to pitch Scales out there to a position where he's not featured all season, but he has excelled at centre-half. It's a tricky one, and this is why Brendan, the birthday guy, will be paid all the money that he's paid at Celtic to make these calls. But from your own point of view, you think Carter Vickers will return, Navrovsky alongside him, Scales left-back, Alistair Johnston over on the right. There's a decent comment that's come in from MikeyBoy80. You'll see it on the screen, anyone watching the live. He says, if we get a replacement in for Greg Taylor, and let's hope we do, that puts Taylor to backup. What happens to Mitchell Frame's progression? And that's a good question. What do you think, James? Should we always have three players for every position, allowing for your number one, maybe your backup in development? But it's a good question because it does choke the development of a Mitchell Frame if Celtic do go and sign another left-sided defender.
I think it's just timing. You know, Mitchell Frame maybe isn't quite ready to take the jersey itself. Maybe he is, you know, we would need to see, but we certainly don't know if he's ready, which kind of means he's not. I think if he did sign that left back, it would then be in Mitchell Frame. If he develops, as we hope he does, then it would be that new signing and Mitchell Frame duking it out, and maybe Greg Taylor, his future lies elsewhere. And I mean that with the greatest respect. I love Greg Taylor's attitude. I love the kind of commitment he gives to the team and how he's dug in over the last few years. He's seen off plenty of challengers as well. But I just think, you know, we need to be moving up the levels. If we win the league, then we get into a whole new Champions League format, and that makes it harder still. So I think it's been a good run for Greg, but just potentially maybe his future lies elsewhere, and hopefully a good move for him that, you know, rewards him for all his hard efforts.
Yeah, and we should see movement at left back, whether it's in this window, and it should be, but whether it's a loan signing, permanent signing, or whatever else, there's work to be done there. And if Brendan Rodgers, and listen, the guy knows football better than any of us, but if he's doing his ongoing squad assessment, which I'm sure is an ongoing thing for him and his backroom team, they must have identified left back as an area for strengthening. So let's see what Celtic decide. And in the midfield, does this pick itself at this moment in time, James? Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly, Paolo Bernardo?
Hey, the starting 11 does. Starting 3 does, but you're light on cover. So yeah, for me, Calmac, Matt O'Reilly and Bernardo, yeah.
Will Matt O'Reilly be distracted by talk of a big money move to Atletico Madrid? So everyone will know by now, but Brendan Rodgers confirmed yesterday that Atletico did make an offer. I think the suggestion is a loan with a view to making it a permanent deal in the summer. No chat about what that figure would be, but it must be, or it should be, in excess of the £25 million, which is Celtic's record sale at this moment in time, kind of joint record for Jota and Kieran Tierney. If he's to go, James, it should be to a club at that calibre, and I suppose it's reassuring as such that big clubs like that will still come in for Celtic's players. That's a sign for potential new signings, that if you come here and impress, you can get the big move. You know, it's up to you to go and do your job, but you can get the big move. But it'd be a real concern, and you know, we've still got 6 odd days to worry about, but it'd be a real concern if Celtic accepted any sort of offer for O'Reilly in this window.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things in there. You know, Celtic can't make the argument that, well, we couldn't, you know, reject that kind of cash injection into the club, and the fans can't buy that anymore because you're not spending it, so you can't make that pitch to the fans. So that's dead. I think O'Reilly will be sitting quite relaxed about it all. He'll be delighted to see there's interest there, of course, but I think he's going to be very, very careful in choosing his next club. And I think he will choose that next club in the summer. But, you know, a friend of ours, Tony Dock, he was saying that he doesn't really think O'Reilly suits Atletico's style. You know, I know they've got Griezmann and they can play ball, but it's nasty football a lot of the time as well. Does that really fit O'Reilly's style? I don't know. I think he's maybe better than an all-out football type team. You know, a Spurs day, dare I say, might well fit under Ange. Wouldn't be the strangest thing, or maybe Liverpool is the case, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think O'Reilly will be pretty relaxed about it. Up in the morning, do his meditation, head to the game, have a good day.
He's a zen character, isn't he? And I think Brendan Rodgers was saying just that. He said, you know, he mentioned he's a good chap with Matt yesterday morning, seems to be in a good place. And he reassured us that he won't be going anywhere this summer. Managers and clubs and agents and all that, they can say a lot of these things, though, and it might be true at that time, you know, at time of going to print as such, that things change, you know, money changes and opinions change. And ultimately, we put an article out yesterday saying that despite the fact that he's contracted till 2027, player power is such a thing in the modern game, and Matt O'Reilly effectively holds all the cards. If he wants to go, and if he, you know, stomps his feet and decides that's where his future lies, then often that plays out. And Brendan Rodgers was quoted last week ahead of the Bucky Thistle game saying that in his experience, if a player generally wants to go, you should let him go. And Celtic suffered during the failed 10 season for holding on to guys that didn't want to be there. You know, Odson Edward was top of that list. You could argue Chris Iyer, Ryan Christie as well. You see the comment on screen from San Fran Celtic saying that O'Reilly's shown again what a quality act he is. And it sounds like the comments, James, coming from that camp via Brendan Rodgers is that he is the kind of balanced guy that we think and hope he is. And it looks like he's happy and content to park that till summer and focus on all things Celtic in the meantime.
Yeah, I think that's how it is. You know, what this might well do is flush out other potential suitors, and then O'Reilly can look at that over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months and say, well, you know, that if we could make that happen, that's where I would like to play. And we've heard there's a bit of interest there. So, you know, his agent would maybe develop that conversation rather than, you know, going to a club that's a big, big club, you know, in a big league, Atletico. But I just don't know if style suits. So, you know, there's a comment from Colin Stewart saying, you know, he'd need to learn to fall down and scream a lot more. It's not in his game. And it is definitely Atletico's game. So, not that he can't develop that, but I just think it's in his makeup, you know.
You say that, but give somebody 150 grand a week and it might become part of their makeup. So money can change. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It doesn't seem a natural fit between the snarling antics of Diego Simeone to the what looks like a genuine nice guy in Matt O'Reilly. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But the big hope, of course, is that he goes nowhere during the next few months because we've got such an important run-in on the cards.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's look at the strikers, James. It's got to be Kyogo through the middle. Again, Greg Taylor stylee, because we've got no other option. So Kyogo is your number nine. So I'd expect it'll be him. Who flanks him? I've got Palmer and Abada, but obviously we've got Nicholas Kuhn, who now comes into the equation.
Yeah, I think Kuhn will come off the bench. Maybe just a wee bit early for him, having not had any training sessions before he came into us with his dentistry or whatever it was. So yeah, Abada and Palmer for me, I think that's quite straightforward.
Yeah, there was comments from Stephen Welsh during the week, I think it was, talking about Kuhn, and he said he's absolutely lightning. Said he's very sharp, very lively, and he looks a nightmare to play against. He did caveat that by saying he's not quite as fast as Dyson, but he then said that Dyson's the fastest guy he's ever seen. So Kuhn's an exciting one, isn't he? Obviously, it'd have been nice to see him against Bucky Thistle last week. It might have been a nice bit of timing to introduce him in a less challenging game, but he's, you know, spoken a few times now. He was on the park at half time, wasn't he? Speaking to Neil Lennon and others at the Bucky game. He'll be absolutely raring to go. He's obviously put in another week's training, got more of a feel for what it is to be a Celtic player, and he'll be desperate for tomorrow's game to get some sort of involvement.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as I'm not starting him, I want to see him on as early as possible. You know, it wouldn't be likely, like Rodgers, to put a guy on at half time, but it'd be nice if we're comfy by then, and he can. And he can run riot a wee bit, not to get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, I'm really excited about him. Great to hear that kind of thing from Welsh, because that's, you know, up close and personal, seeing a guy how he can move. So it bodes well for, you know, for his coming to Celtic and hit the ground running.
Yeah. In terms of backup players, for guys that might just miss out, the one main guy for me would be Thiago Holme. He obviously started in place of Callum McGregor, and it was good to see McGregor get that rest last week. I think it was the right thing to do, and it's rare to see, but Celtic seen an opportunity and they took it. Thiago Holme stepped in the number six. Now, he's not going to keep his place ahead of Callum McGregor, but he done okay in the day. There's a birthday thing going on right now, isn't there? He turned 21 a week or so ago, and he'll be, you know, keen just to further impress, and he'd fallen out the picture a wee bit, but he might now be one of the subs that Rodgers turns to when he's making his changes in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the bench for me, for sure. With a caveat that, where is Iwata? Haven't heard sight nor sound of him since he went off against Lazio. So, if Iwata was fit, I'd like to have seen him on the bench. But, yeah, Holme did enough last week to show he's got something and he's developing and maybe he's maturing a wee bit and things like that. Rodgers will know exactly what Holme needs to do. Hopefully Holme takes that on board and does it. But yeah, he's on my bench for sure.
Yeah. The other lad very much worth mentioning is Rocco Vatta. He's made a lot of headlines this week, as has his dad. His dad's been out speaking about his situation. It looked like he was absolutely for the off, you know, a couple of Serie A clubs in for him. All of a sudden, there's a turnaround. It looks like there's been ongoing discussions. The suggestion is a new contract announcement is imminent, and he gets minutes all of a sudden against Bucky Thistle. He looked lively. He also looks like he's worked on himself. He's bulked up a wee bit in the gym, and he got his goal. So there's promising signs there. Now, in general, and without any of us really knowing the story behind the scenes, it sounds like maybe Rocco Vatta was getting a wee bit ahead of himself, you know, thinking he was due first team minutes when perhaps he wasn't. Maybe there's been a correction there, a discussion between him and the manager, but he seems back in the plans now. And certainly with Kyogo being the only viable option, there's every chance Vatta gets more minutes tomorrow.
I think he should, because we want to see him develop. But my take on the situation is they went to market and the market hasn't met their valuation as to what they can get for him, what he can get on a weekly basis. And that's why they've come back with their tail between their legs and realised that you need to develop if you want to hit the numbers. I mean, I think it's madness that you've got a guy who you hear decent things about, and I've seen a wee bit of in the youth squad and the B squad, but not set in the header, like, not like, oh man, this guy's going to be the next big thing. A decent looking player, played a bit of pre-season with us, all that stuff, but I think he's way ahead of himself, and I hope that is just immaturity with poor advice from his father, to be fair, that he's letting him run riot with that. Just, you know, just relax, put your head on your shoulders and get your head down and get some work done. Starting tomorrow, come off the bench and do something tomorrow. Show me that you should be in between Kyogo and O in terms of starting positions. And then we can start to, you know, develop a plan for you. But he's miles away from it. So I want to see him do well, but he needs to calm down.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his dad's previous comments might have been, but you'll have seen the clip that was doing the rounds during the week. Yeah. And he offered a more balanced viewpoint. The gist of it was that Rocco wants to move. You know, that was the kind of headline that came from Rocco wants to move, but I don't think he's ready yet, you know, as the father. He said he had very different options as a young player in Albania. Life was different then, and you didn't have the hopes and dreams that he could even get out the country at the time, given what was going on. But Rocco's in a different situation. He's grown up here and he dreams of Barca's and Real Madrid's and all these kind of things. That's great. Have ambition, have dreams, but don't step, you know, jump a couple of steps before you're ready. Do the development at Celtic. And I think that's what his dad was saying. He's in a good place to develop, and that was his advice, that he might want to stick here for a couple of years. And I think that's got to be the right move. He's 18. He's not long turned 18. So there's plenty of time for him to mature as a player, develop and get minutes here. So let's see. And Brendan Rodgers was speaking quite positively, wasn't he, during the week about youth. Now, I hope that's not a smokescreen for no signings. You never know. But he was speaking about the potential of youth getting a chance. So whether it's Rocco Vatta, Mitchell Frame, Daniel Kelly, who debuted last week, let's see what he decides. James, we'll need to take a quick look at Ross County. So struggling, definitely. So they're in 11th place, second bottom of the table, albeit they're 6 points ahead of Livy with a couple of games in hand. Livy looked doomed, and that's fine. We'll skip by that. The main headlines coming out of Ross County are from Derek Adams. So he took over from Malky Mackay kind of towards the end of November. A guy who's obviously held that job before. And he's taken what looks like the Troy Deeney approach to management. He's thrown players under the bus, the league under the bus, the environment that he's in. And it's strange actions from a guy who knows exactly what Ross County are all about, exactly what Scottish football is all about. And no, am I reading too much between the lines? It's almost like a guy that wants sacked. He's taken the job and regretting it, and he's looking for the payout. It's strange noises he's making.
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard, without me getting right into the detail of it, I'd heard all the cliff notes about he was saying this or that. So I went into it this morning and looked back in his last few interviews. Absolute crackpot. Just some really bizarre stuff. You know, the first one, slagging off not just his team, the away team, and the whole of Scottish football. Now, see his first interview, I was thinking, okay, well, that might be a conversation worth having. That, you know, we would say ourselves that we need to raise the standard in Scotland, and we need to kind of, you know, bring in guys who've got a bit of tactical innovation to defeat a Celtic and a Rangers and maybe a Hearts and a Hibs. Not Hibs, but an Aberdeen maybe. Not Aberdeen, actually. Just Celtic and Rangers, say. But it's not. It's all low block, and it's, you know, cart horses and industrial football that the referees let go and all this. So in his first interview when he came out with stuff, I was like, all right, well, you know, there's maybe somebody to say there's problems here. But it just unravels from there. Like, he's talking about League Two, Morecambe are way better than this. I'm not buying that, right? Journalists ask him questions, you know, how do you think the team played today? How do you think the team played today? You know, stupid stuff like that. We were a better side. You don't know the real Derek Adams. He referred to himself in the third person three times.
Really?
Just bizarre. I'm trying to kind of go, is he trying to create a bit of noise that takes the focus off the team? But then part of that noise is absolutely hammering the team. So, not really. I think he's all at sea. See me type in Derek Adams, Ross County on YouTube. It goes back years. He's been at this for years. Bizarre behaviour. So, yeah. Fighting with players on the touchline, all this kind of stuff. Fallouts. Strange guy. Don't understand it at all. So, yeah. Yes, we
are. That is strange. I tell you something, James. Tino does not like people speaking in the third persona. I think it's a very strange thing to do. There was others coming out. I think Tony Watt spoke during the week. I think he knew of Derek Adams' father. I think he was involved in football. Said he's a brilliant guy, but he can't understand what Derek Adams is going on about. Tony Watt's been around the block, played down south, and he says there's no comparison between League Two Morecambe and some of the stuff going on in the Scottish top flight, let alone the Scottish Championship. So, bizarre stuff. I didn't realise he had form for it. I've just got to say, I've not had reason to pay much attention to Derek Adams in recent years, but it's odd behaviour. And at the end of the day, it's not the kind of behaviour that's going to motivate a team. And you're seeing that in the results. So they've lost four out of their last five, the most recent being a 3-0 tanking at home to Partick Thistle in the Scottish Cup. So from a Celtic point of view, it's got to be a good game to have, isn't it? You know, we're looking to just get back on track and keep the momentum going. We're obviously five wins from five now. And Ross County, at the moment at Celtic Park, is a pretty good fixture for us.
Yeah, I mean, if you took Derek Adams out of the equation, so say it was John Hughes or Malky Mackay was still there, whatever kind of thing, and a team was on that kind of form, then you're worried that, you know, they're a wounded animal and they're going to come out and stop the rot. And what better way than to get any kind of result at Celtic Park? With Adams there, I just that adds to the mix that why would they bother playing for that guy? So you can't count your chickens, and we certainly can't take it for granted tomorrow. But it should be the ideal fixture to restart your league campaign after the winter break, 100%.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any danger of Celtic underestimating them. Celtic obviously scouted Bucky Thistle, for example, recently, regardless of who the opposition is and what kind of form they're in, then I don't think there's any danger of Celtic being complacent on the day. Just having a quick glance at the odds, if anyone's that way inclined, Ross County are 25-1 to beat Celtic tomorrow, Celtic 16-1 on, and that seems about right, if not, you know, a bit skinny, you know, based on what's going on. Let's get back to Celtic. So obviously, James, I mentioned there the five wins on the bounce, in a good place, good energy. I'm sure Coons added to the squad and lifted the levels in training, and I think Stephen Welsh said as such. Obviously, we want other guys to come in, but we'll catch all that in next week's post-transfer window disaster show, but we'll get to all of that. So what do you expect from the players in terms of headspace and where they'll be given recent results?
I think they'll be in a good place headspace-wise. You know, be good to see Carter Vickers coming back, so he'll be buzzing to get back on the pitch. There's opportunity while guys are away, you know, while guys are away in Asian Cup and various things. So there's opportunities for guys to cement their places. You've got pressure on Palmer, maybe Kuhn, maybe Abada with Kuhn being around. We're starting to add a bit of competition in places. Obviously, there's a big gap at left back, but there's competition around in other places. And you know, that's what drives a squad on to the best that they can be. So, yeah, I think the squad's going to be a pretty happy place. We've come through that tie against Bucky really well, really professionally, and it's just into tomorrow to get the 3 points on the board.
Yeah. You like a mad old scoreline in games like this, so what are you going with in this one?
That's mad. Should have thought about that before I came on, really. I'll go for another 5-0.
Another 5-0 win was the last 5-0?
Last week.
5-0. Do you know what? I've got to agree. Now and then, I think you get a wee bit overexcited with your scoreline predictions, but I think it's accurate on this occasion. I think, actually, it can't be anything less than 4-0 for Celtic. Hold on. I'll plug in my laptop, James, before the whole thing goes kaput. I think it's got to be 4 or 5-0. But a lot of it, for me, would come down to the fact that, as you mentioned, there's competition for places and guys that, you know, want to be a part of what's going on. Nicholas Kuhn will be desperate for minutes tomorrow. So does that drive on Palma and Abada, as you mentioned? Hugo's always greedy for a goal, as all good strikers should be. And then you've got guys like Bernardo chipping in from midfield. I think it's 3 goals in the last 4 games. So you can't see anything but a Celtic win. And, you know, hopefully this isn't something that comes back to bite us. But the way things are going just now for both sides, you'd be hopeful of Celtic racking up a few goals. I'll go 4-0 just to be slightly different, but I can absolutely see why yourself and a couple of commenters, Colin Stewart in the comments, for example, also going for 5-0. Just a thank you for everyone that's joined us in the live, whether that's on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and certainly anyone that's listening on the podcast format. We really appreciate the support. If you are enjoying what we do, be sure to share this episode with your Celtic supporting friends as we start to grow and develop what we're doing here at the Celtic Exchange. James, just as we start to wrap up, then your final comments ahead of Celtic Ross County tomorrow at Celtic Park.
Just a very, very important tie to get this momentum going again. A really, really important period for the league campaign. The transfer window is a distraction and we all want to see stuff done there, but I suppose the good thing is it'll all be done on Wednesday, and then we're just... Wednesday?
Thursday at 11:30.
Thursday. And then we've got the squad we've got, and we just get right on the bike and just head for the finishing line, you know?
There is the added factor that Rangers play St Mirren at 12:30 tomorrow, and they could close the gap to 2 points, albeit temporarily. So that's a test psychologically of this Celtic side to see where they're at. But with Callum McGregor and others like that back on track, James, and guys who have seen it and done it before, we should have the right headspace to go and get the job done against Ross County. Thanks to James for joining me here today. And thanks, as always, to everyone who's tuned in, as I say, whether it's on the live or in podcast format. We really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow night around about 7 o'clock after the game with the final whistle show. In the meantime, from myself and James, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again very soon.
Podcast Network.